Welcome to the Excel Pod.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Today, we're continuing our series on the spiritual disciplines or practices. And today, we're going to be talking about service, as always, joined by my co-host, Zachary. Zachary, how you doing?
Well, I'm excited to wrap up. This is wrapping up this series on practices, and one that we don't talk about that much, which is, of course, service. I mean, we try to do it. We encourage people to do it, but to talk about it in relation to a spiritual discipline, I feel like it's not that common.
Yeah, very true. And we're recording this on a Thursday, and usually we release episodes on Tuesday, and we were supposed to release an episode on Tuesday, but we have been having, to say technical difficulties would be an understatement. So we are doing our best to get these episodes released into the wild. That's why I brought you on here, so that you're the tech guy. And, you know, ever since I brought you on, we've been having more tech issues. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, what's going on.
Maybe it's time for me to leave again.
It's only been 30 episodes. We had a good run. So, yeah, like you said, service, yeah, definitely. We preach it a lot. We teach it a lot. We talk about it a lot. And it's, I think we definitely pair it into the good works category, and rightfully so. And that can be very vague. It's vague intentionally, because good works, service, that falls under many different categories. There's many different ways to serve, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. So how would you frame this conversation on service, and I guess specifically, as you mentioned, kind of making the discipline of service?
So if you just look at the definition of serving or of service, you would find something similar to the act of helping or doing work for something or someone. So you serve others. It's really, it's easy to see how that could be a spiritual discipline, because a lot of the disciplines aren't just for the benefits of us, but also help others. So you think about prayer, and especially passages like James chapter 5, where prayer says, you know, you pray for each other so that you may be healed, or confess your sins to each other. So a lot of the disciplines that we talk about benefit yourselves and other people, and service is one of those as well. We've been in situations, I know you have, I have, where we have served, and it benefits us greatly to serve, but it also benefits the people whom we are serving. So service is really easy to see how it could be a spiritual discipline, but that means if it is a spiritual discipline, it means that it's something, I believe, that is easy to not do. Easy to say, okay, there's other people doing that. Why? I don't have a role. There's nothing for me to do. How could I serve in my context? But being a spiritual discipline means that it takes just that. It takes discipline. It takes hard work. It takes determination and daily encouragement in order for you to get started. Like any other habits that we've talked about, silence and solitude or prayer or scripture reading, it's going to take a daily effort and a conscious effort in order to serve and to go out of your way each day to look for opportunities to serve. Because what serving is not limited to a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night as a Christian. Serving can be every day of the week. And I think we need to be better about opening our eyes and looking for ways to serve other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up those two kind of ideas of, one, roles and disciplines. Like this morning I worked out. It's been a little while. I didn't really want to work out, but I knew that I needed to. And that's what discipline is. Sometimes it's things that we really don't want to do. And I think sometimes I've kind of fallen into this thinking we look at the spiritual disciplines as we're working kind of on project self, like I'm becoming the best version of myself I can be. And you are, but it's important to know that these disciplines are not just for yourself, they're for the sake of others, which, as we'll talk about in scripture, when you are living for the sake of others, you're also living for the sake of Christ, because that's how Christ lived. And so I love how you frame that with roles and with discipline, because I think what I try to say a lot, and I may not even enough, just from preaching, is that, look, in the church, you have a role to play. Like, it's not a spectator game. Like, you are supposed to be on the field and find a role to play within the church. We shouldn't look at church as a spectator, consumerism kind of thing. And so I love those two kind of narratives and themes. I think it's just good from time to time. And I think that this is especially true with service. I know some people just love service. They love serving others. But we tend to be very self-focused. And we want to preserve ourselves and do things for ourselves. And so I think just from time to time, doing things like service that we just kind of don't want to do is actually really good for us. Can I tell a funny story?
Only if it's not at my expense.
It's more at my expense, but it does involve you. So I guess I was looking through just my Google Docs, and I found this sermon that I preached on John 13, which we're going to talk about. And I guess it was in the beginning of December, and it was so right after Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving 2024, and I remember you called me, and we were, you know, coming from Ardmore, going to Tipton. We were like just in Frederick, and you called me and you were like, "Hey, can you get Taylor a vanilla Coke?" And I came up with all these reasons why I wasn't going to give Taylor a vanilla Coke. And I think I just said, "Yeah, I just can't." And you said, "You could, you just don't want to." And I was like, "Ah, that is so true." I felt so guilty that I think the next time I saw y'all, I got her a vanilla Coke just because of how guilty you made me feel because of that.
It's true. You did.
Yep. So I say that to say we come up with sometimes these excuses, like you said, of that's not my role, that's not my job. But sometimes service looks like doing the things that you just don't want to do. And that's really hard in our day and time in our culture that says you do you, you do whatever you want to do, which I'm sure we're talking about. So I thought I'd share that story as kind of a good framework. Obviously, John 13, and there's plenty of other passages, but where would you go in the Bible when talking about service?
Well, first, let me respond to what you just said. A couple of passages that came to mind. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you're saying that every person has a role in the church, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that you are all members of the body of Christ. And if one part, if your arm, if your finger, if you're suffering, then the whole church is suffering. So don't believe a lie. Well, you know, there's nothing here for me to do. That's those other people. Well, the reality is that 80% of the work in a church is done by 20% of the people. And that's a statistic that is true just about everywhere. So there's always something for you to do. But then you mentioned something about doing it for yourself. And that's one of the greatest barriers, not only to service, but a lot of spiritual disciplines. However, service, I think the most is pride. When we have pride, then we're never going to serve others because we feel as if we're the ones that should be served. And if you look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's what he tells us to be careful. Watch out for pride. Make sure to be humble because no one is better than each other. All parts are important. So I just wanted to address what you just said. But when I think about service, there's a few passages that come to mind. Now, one of the passages that I want to start with is Mark chapter 10. So Mark chapter 10, you have James and John. They come up to Jesus and they think that they have a good question or a good conversation starter, if you will. And Jesus kind of shuts them down pretty quickly. Here's what he says. This is Mark chapter 10, 42 through 45. So Jesus said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So this was Jesus' response to the sons of Zebedee coming up and saying, "I want to sit on your right and the other and on your left in your glory." Jesus says, "Hold on, you've got this all backwards. If you want to be great, it's not about sitting up high in these high, lofty positions and looking down over people. It's becoming a servant." And then he says, "By the way, that's what I'm doing. I'm becoming a servant. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." And that goes hand in hand with one more passage that I want to bring up, which is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to read a couple verses here. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So he talks about him being a servant. And in verses 3 and 4, it tells us what a servant really looks like. A servant is someone who doesn't serve out of their selfish ambition or out of their vanity. Rather, they act out of humility because they value others above themselves. And then he talks about Jesus, and you think how Jesus fit that role and that definition of servant. And he fit it perfectly because Jesus came down from the Father and he gave his life for people who were less than him. He didn't treat them as less than him. But that's the reality, is that they were sinners. He was perfect. He was God in the flesh. And yet he chose to look toward our interest and not his own interest. I think his own interest would have been, "Nah, I'm good. I'll just stay up here with my Father. I don't want to come down to earth." Or, "No, I don't want to go to the cross." Or, "No, I don't want to be beaten." Or, "No, I don't want to have to escape all these places because people are trying to come and stone me or kill me in some way." But Jesus chose the people. He chose to serve. He chose humility. And that's such a great example for all of us.
Yeah, I think in both of those passages, Mark 10 and Philippians 2, I think the thing that we can take from it, and I think that it's harder in our context and our day and time, is that it's not just about doing acts of service. It's also about taking the position of a servant. I mean, in that time, you had a lot more of hierarchy and social status and ranking and order, even more so than you have today. I mean, you do today, it's just not as visible. And I think the shocking thing about hearing Jesus for the first time would have been, "You want us to take the position of a servant. Like, you want us to lower ourselves." And I think sometimes we're really quick to say, like, "Well, that's, You know, that's metaphorically. That's, you know, that's kind of inwardly. But I don't know if that's exactly all that Jesus means. I think it is about this position and this inner posture and this outward posture of, I don't have to be placed at the top. And I think that to me is probably the most difficult part of making a discipline out of service, is that I, in my human nature, you know, in my flesh, I want to be regarded in high status. You know, I want to have the applause. I want to talk, you know, on stages. I want to be well known. I want to be famous. I want people to ask me my opinion on things. But I think the message of Jesus really all throughout his ministry is a lot of, you have to be okay without that. You have to be okay with taking the position of a servant. And so I think it really does begin in the heart. It begins with this poor in spirit kind of mindset that says, I don't have to be number one. And that takes a lot of humility to say that. And then, of course, you know, John chapter 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. You can almost come at it with this question of, if you knew you only had not very long to live, like, what would you do? And probably none of us would say, I want to go wash some nasty first century feet. Jesus was their teacher. He was Son of God. He was Lord. And yet, he's the one washing his students, his disciples' feet. John 13, I'll read 12 through 17 here. It says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And that's so important. He says, he doesn't deny that he's teacher. He doesn't deny that he's Lord, that he's the one in charge here. He doesn't deny that. He uses that to say, you call me this. You call me rabbi, and you are correct. I am your rabbi. But knowing that, I'm still serving you. I'm still serving my apprentices, my disciples. And so if I do that, then shouldn't you do that to one another? And I think it's in the same chapter that he says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And that's so important in our lives. And, you know, that last line there, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It reminds me a lot of James chapter 2, 15 and 16. It says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. To me, that almost seems like when you know someone is struggling, you know that there's probably something you could do to help them, and you say thoughts and prayers, like, hey, I've been thinking about you, or, you know, warm feelings, you know? And I think sometimes, you know, God may be looking at that and saying, you have resources to help them. And I'm not undermining prayer by any means. But if we look at them and say, well, I really just don't want to get uncomfortable. I really just don't want to get my feet dirty. I really just don't want to take the time to make them a meal or go inside their home and go visit them because I'm busy and I have all this stuff that I've got to do. I'll just say that I'm praying for them. I'll just send them a text. Then that'll be fine. But we have the resources. If we do, then we need to use them. And I know that's easier said than done. I feel a little hypocritical talking about it because I struggle with this. But it is a good reminder, and I'm thankful that Scripture has these kinds of reminders for us. So, yeah, anything else you would add to that?
Well, in the John 13 passage in the story, it's just so cool to think that, yes, he knows these are the last moments of his life, but he doesn't exclude Judas and he doesn't exclude Peter from the service. So Judas, of course, just moments later, he's going to say, yeah, you're the guy. And Judas gets up from the table and leaves in the middle of the Passover. And then Peter, he says, look, you're going to deny me. And that's exactly what he does a short time after this event happens. So Jesus realizes, okay, I can't be picky with who I choose to serve. I'm going to give you this example to serve those people who want to wrong you, or even those people who don't respect you or don't want your best interest or have your best interest in mind. Like, I'm going to serve all people, which is such a cool example. Then one more passage I thought of in Romans chapter 12, it says, well, let me just get it open real quick. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 go hand in hand in a lot of ways. And here's what it says in Romans chapter 12. We each have different gifts, verse 6. And then verse 7, if it is serving, then serve. So I think there's probably some distinction between serving as a spiritual gift and serving as a spiritual discipline. And I think some people are more inclined to be gifted with that act of service. But what we're saying, I believe, if I'm getting this right, is what we're saying is every person should be a servant because Jesus was a servant. You might not be gifted in it in the same way someone else has a spiritual gift of service, but that doesn't mean you should never serve, never look for opportunities to serve others.
Yeah, that's really good. I got another passage too, but I think it'll fall under the why we serve kind of category. I think for me, the first reason why we serve is really just like what we've been talking about this whole time, and that is because we serve because Jesus served first. We love because he first loved us. And you talked about this there at the beginning, like if anyone had the right to refuse to serve, it would have been Jesus. And that's what, you know, Philippians 2 is all about. He left the status, or he gave up the status of being with God, and he didn't use equality with God, to his earthly advantage. Instead he laid it down. And of course, his ultimate service, his ultimate act of service was, of course, the cross. So I think number one is if we say we're going to follow Jesus, if we say that he's our role model, he showed us how to live life, then that's the example we need to look to. And so I think number one, you could say we serve because Jesus first served us. What else would you add?
I mean, another simple one is that we're commanded to serve. Galatians 5:13, it says, serve one another humbly in love. There's another verse. Let me grab it real quick. Where it says, you don't just serve one another, but you. 1 Peter 2:16, it says, to live as servants of God. So we're commanded to live as servants of God, but also to serve each other. And that's one of the reasons why we do it. And I think service is interesting because let's say you serve, you're practicing service by building a house or a shed or some structure for a group or some other people. you get this immediate sense of it's of the reward of serving. Or if you go load groceries into the car and you see the people's faces, you get that instant reaction. Oh, I know this is working. I know service is. So I know that serving can bless others. And I think that can be part of the why we do it, is because we get to see the results. We get to see the fruits of our labor so often immediately. Whereas sometimes when it comes to scripture reading, you could read and read and study and you're just like, man, is this doing anything? Or prayer? Are my prayers being answered? Or it takes forever for them to be answered? Service is one of those rare things where we can do it and see instant results in some cases, which is really cool. And it's pretty unique in regard to our spiritual disciplines.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, going back to a scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, very similar to Romans chapter 12. But he says, starting in verse 8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. So Peter says, whatever gift you have, whether that's teaching, speaking, or whatever that is, use it to serve others. Hopefully we're not using our spiritual gifts as a platform for ourselves. Hopefully we're not using, if you're a gifted speaker or teacher, hopefully you're not using that to advance yourself or climb the kingdom ladder. Hopefully we're using it to serve in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And so that goes back to what we were talking about kind of at the beginning, which is service and us serving, making a discipline out of it, really helps the church, and it helps us contribute to the church. And so we need to be looking around and saying, what are my gifts? What are my abilities? And how can I use that to serve the church? And I think ultimately, when we serve, we know that we're serving God. Colossians 3:23 and 24 reminds us that whatever we do, we are to do it for the Lord. And so every ordinary and maybe unseen act does matter, whether we're folding our laundry, whether we're showing up to work, whether we're caring for people. You know, you mentioned the how we see the results of service, and that's so good. But some people don't always see the reward or see the fruits of their labor. But we have to remember, and we need to remind ourselves, that God does see what we do. Every act that is good, that is unseen by others, by man, that is seen by God. And so I think that is a good reminder for ourselves, that everything we do is ultimately for God. And we can't put our lives into these categories of, well, here's my spiritual life there, here's my work life here, here's my relationship life here. He says, all that you do should be done for the glory of God, and as if you were doing it for God.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, in regard to serving your local church, I think it's really important to take whatever spiritual gift you've been given, whatever talents you have. I think talents and spiritual gifts are two different things. And match those up together in a way that you could serve God. And that could look so different for so many people. I know people who are artistic that have used their skills to do things in an artistic way for the church and for God. Or maybe it's in children's classrooms or something, and they serve in that way. But I think the important thing is, like you said, that 1 Peter 4 passage, it teaches us your gifts should not be used for yourself. Your gift ultimately is to serve others. So if you're blessed with a spiritual gift and you're just sitting on it and not using it, then I think we have a problem there. I think God would want you to use it and to serve others and bless others by the gift that he has given you. So we need to be, and as people who perhaps are in leadership roles in a church, we've got to be better about helping people discover how they can serve in churches as well. Because a lot of times, it's not that there isn't work they could do. It's just that it's just easier if I don't have to teach anybody. I'll just do everything myself. And we get into that mindset a lot, and it's really hurt people's willingness to step up and lead and serve in ways that perhaps they would have otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. So just let's close with a few ways, just practically, how we can serve. And the first one is, I'm not sure if this is actually a how. I don't know how to teach this, but it has to come from a willing attitude. Again, going back to 1 Peter, this is chapter 5 and verse 2. He's talking about elders. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Obviously, like I said, that's talking about elders, but I think that could apply to us as well. Is first of all, just, are you willing? You know, are you making yourself available for service? Do you have this kind of mindset of here I am, send me? Is that the way you go about your life? And again, I'll admit it again, like, this is hard. It's hard to have this mindset because we have this attitude of self-preservation and image maintaining. And if I serve, especially if I serve maybe this person, will I be seen as less than? In fact, Zachary, I actually, for a little comedic relief here, I actually have this little guy with me. I keep it with me at all times. This is my bobblehead that I got for Christmas. You know, most people get a bobblehead of their favorite athlete or a superhero or something. There we go. For those watching, it's a family tradition. We did not ask for bobbleheads for ourselves. Although mom did ask, you know, like, is it okay? And I was like, I think it would kind of be cool. But anyway, we just had those tendencies, don't we?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Anything else you would add to why we serve?
Yeah, or how we serve. Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just as easy as getting out of our comfort zone and just stretching yourself just a little bit and making yourself a little bit uncomfortable in ways. If you have a group that's signing up to go help at a children's home or to go on some sort of mission trip and you've never done it before and what's holding you back is fear, then just try to overcome that and just get your foot out the door and make a difference to serve. Or maybe there's slides, you know, in announcements or in a bulletin about, hey, we need help with this. And you've never considered yourself to be that person to fill that role. Maybe reconsider. There's always ways to help. This week on Sunday in our newsletter, we're going to have something about needing people to help cook for funerals. Because a lot of the people that used to help are no longer with us. So that's, if that's you, if you like to cook, that's a super easy thing to do. Or we're always looking for people to come and help set up or to clean up different things. I mean, there's a lot of easy roles and a lot of easy ways that we could serve. We just have to be more intentional about seeking those out because it's important we do so.
Yeah. And I think too, it goes back to just kind of doing the dirty work. Or not the dirty work, but just the work that maybe no one sees or really notices. You may not get a lot of thank yous But again, I think going back to the idea that God does notice that. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the effort, the mission type efforts. I know you guys go to Houston and Belize. I got to go to, I guess, both of those places with you guys. And in both of those times, you're exposed to situations that are a little uncomfortable for you. Actually, I think the Houston trip was actually a little more out of my comfort zone than the Belize one. But I think that those opportunities are just are so good for us. Because I think, you know, and getting a little off topic here, but I think it helps us realize just how incredibly blessed we are and how comfortable we actually are in our lives. And I think that that's what service does. I mean, Jesus didn't live to our standards a very comfortable life. And just a closing thought on my end, you know, our culture really talks a lot about, you know, again, protecting yourself, saying no, drawing boundaries, protect your, you know, life over everyone else's, to a degree that is just a lot of self-centeredness. And I think that that's just kind of what we need to call it. And really serve only when it benefits you. Jesus actually says, lower yourselves, love others, serve even when it costs you and even when it's someone who may not serve you back or may not love you back. If you read the first three Beatitudes, someone said that the first three steps to heaven are actually three steps down, because we need to lower ourselves. Jesus says, you know, come lose your life with me. And that's not an understatement. That's an important part of our lives. And so I think, you know, just practically in a small way, doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be just public, seen or unseen. I think just doing an act of service, whether that's washing the dishes without being asked, or, you know, getting gas for your family car, whatever that is, there's so many different ways.
Yeah, if you look at service from like a economic person's point of view, and you're only worried about the ROI or the return on investment, then you'll be gravely disappointed at what it yields, because so many times we serve and there's no return on our investment. I mean, we just served, and unfortunately, you may never see that person step foot in your church building, or they may never come to Christ, but it doesn't mean we should stop. Jesus died for the world. Most of the world rejects him. So it's an important thing to serve, and there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Zachary, good conversation as always. I will see you and your bobblehead later down the road, I guess.
All righty. We'll see you then.
All right.